Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Catalonia's ousted president has traveled now to Brussels. He has escaped from the country, where he's been offered asylum because Spanish authorities, so-called, said Monday, after indicating that prosecutors were filing charges against him and other regional leaders related to their declaration of independence that they made last week. So they had originally, had said they were going to declare independence, but put it on hold with the intention of having another conversation with the Spanish government. So the Catalan leaders were going to meet once again with the Spanish leaders to try to hammer some sort of agreement out. But the Spanish people, the Spanish government, they're not interested in that. They're interested in having complete control. They're interested in having nobody leave the, whatever you want to call it, their union or state of Spain, the nation of Spain. They are not interested in negotiation. So given that, the Catalonian government decided, all right, well, we'll just go ahead and fully declare independence and go our own way. See ya. And now they're coming after them. Now the Spanish government's coming after the Catalan leaders. Spanish prosecutors in Madrid said they were asking judges for rebellion, sedition, and embezzlement charges against Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont and others who were dismissed by Spain's central government.
I'm just trying to point out that I don't think necessarily that some percentage of people that were supporting secession up to this point are like, whoa, 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 I didn't think we'd actually get it. I just wanted to get X, Y, or Z from the Spanish government. And I was taking secession as a path
to
get it.
Well, if you don't want secession, don't get on board a secession movement, okay? Well,
there's a precedent in the 1995 Quebec referendum. I think it was almost like 50% of the Quebec population voted to, and this was like, this would have happened, right? It's like a legally, constitutional thing, for, the province of Quebec to leave Canada. And they lost by a small margin, and
so it was more than half, but they needed more.
It was slightly less. They lost by half. Yeah, because
because sometimes you need to have more than half, like 60% or 66%.
It would have been, I think, whoever had the it was like 49-51. I forget exactly what it was. And so Quebec was given it was given a lot more autonomy, and it was given pretty much like unlimited welfare from the Canadian federal government. So, and you don't see you didn't see 50% of a population rioting or trying to forcibly secede, because people were complacent. They were happy with what they got.
I'd like to clarify on something Mark might have said a minute ago. He was saying something about how some people go out to vote for secession that don't actually support it.
That's what he was saying. Yeah. Yes, he was saying that those people are instead hoping to stir up some level of discussion that will lead towards more autonomy or some sort of special dispensation from the national government.
Well, Ian, you had seemed a little skeptical of that idea, but I honestly think that's more real than most people think.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying if you don't support secession, maybe you shouldn't get behind a secession movement.
Well, some people in Catalonia might have thought this is pie in the sky. This just isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. But what if we got a big enough? It's kind of like some of the people in the United States that'll vote, like third party. They'll think, there's no way I'm going to win.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you think that the person who thinks that, in Catalonia, a person who believes that, this is pie in the sky, it's never going to happen, but I'll vote for it anyway, are they the kind of person who's going to go out into the streets, into the hot summer sun, and protest for hours on end?
Anything's possible. I'd be skeptical.
Doesn't seem likely.
It turns out when you put a boot in Uncle Fidel's face that suddenly people are like, wow, that wasn't very nice.
Francisco, I think, for Spain.
Okay.
So in that case, it might not even be the will of the Catalan people. The people that might have wanted to stay didn't even show up to vote. So can we really push this as a big secession movement if the popular opinion isn't there and a lot of the people that wanted to vote stayed home?
But if it's important to Ian, he can.
And this is important. I think the Catalonian secession movement is probably one of the most important secession movements in the world at the moment. It deserves close study.
People need headlines.
Yeah, people need to look at it. It is making headlines, but it's probably not making that many in the United States Go ahead.
But the thing is, it could really go either way. This could create one of two reactions. One,
well, it's going both ways is actually what it's doing. It's not going necessarily either way. It's going both ways because you've got one group of people saying they're seceding, say bye-bye. And then there's the others in Spain saying, nuh-uh.
I just wanted to talk inspiration. Because I don't know if you guys remember a while back that autistic kid who called in.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, he was a young man.
I just wanted to say I feel bad about him because I have it as well. And inspirations like, I don't know, like a favorite cartoon character or someone that really inspires him, he should really look up to that person because it could help him because it helped me a lot.
So tell me about that. I mean, what is an inspiration for you, or who is an inspiration for you, and how did that help you being autistic? Because autism is like what, the inability to interact socially with people, and there's different levels of it. I don't know how you define the thing.
Yeah, exactly like you said it. My inspiration is I'm sorry if this sounds weird, but he's a game character called Sweet Tooth on Twisted Metal, and he gets through a lot, so I found him inspiring.
So Sweet Tooth has lots of iterations, right?
You played this game? Familiar with this game?
Oh, yeah. I've got Twisted Metal 2 through Black.
Wow, all right. And I'm glad you're here, because I knew what the game was. For listeners that don't know, it is a multiplayer or single-player game where you're
driving, game,
you're driving around, you have guns,
you got weapons,
on your car, and the objective of the game is to blow the crap out of basically everybody else in the game. So instead of speculating here, here's a little bit of information from, of all places, the Smithsonian. The history and psychology of clowns being scary. Subject: you aren't alone in your fear of makeup-clad entertainers. People have been frightened by clowns for centuries. There's a word, albeit one not recognized by the Oxford English Dictionary or any psychology manual, for the excessive fear of clowns. Coulrophobia, spelled C-O-U-L, rophobia. Not a lot of people actually suffer from a debilitating phobia of clowns. A lot more people, however, just don't like them. Do a Google search for I Hate Clowns, and the first hit is IHateClowns.com, a forum for clown haters that also offers vanity at I Hate Clowns emails. One I Hate Clowns Facebook page has just under 480,000 likes. This story, by the way, published in 2013. Some circuses have held workshops to help visitors get over their fear of clowns by letting them watch performers transform into their clown persona. I mean, that's ridiculous, but I guess people are really freaked out. In Sarasota, Florida, by the way, where Mark and I are from, in 2006, communal loathing for clowns took a criminal turn when dozens of fiberglass clown statues, part of a public art exhibition called Clowning Around Town and a nod to the city's history as a winter haven for traveling circuses, were defaced. Their limbs were broken, heads lopped off, spray painted. Two were abducted, and we can only guess at their sad fates. But clowns have always had a dark side, says David Kaiser, director of talent for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. After all, these were characters who reflected a funhouse mirror back on society. Academics note that their comedy was often derived from their voracious appetites for food, sex, and drink, and their manic behavior. Quote, so in one way, the clown has always been an impish spirit. As he's kind of grown up, he's always been about fun, but part of that fun has been a bit of mischief. Mischief is one thing, homicidal urges is certainly another. What's changed about clowns is how the darkness is how that darkness is manifest, argued Andrew McConnell, the dean of undergraduate education at University of Buffalo. Stott is that's Andrew Stott, the dean, is the author of several articles on scary clowns in comedy, as well as The Pantomime Life of Joseph Grimaldi, a much lauded 2009 biography of the famous comic pantomime player on the Regency London stage. Grimaldi was the first recognizable ancestor of the modern clown, sort of the Homo erectus of clown evolution. He's the reason why clowns are still sometimes called Joeys. Meanwhile, on the heels of Grimaldi's fame in Britain, the major clown figure on the continent was Jean-Gaspard de Barrouze Perriot, a clown with white face paint, punctuated by red lips and black eyebrows, whose silent gesticulations delighted French audiences. De Barrouze was well known on the streets of Paris, or as well known as Grimaldi was in London, recognized even without his makeup. But where Grimaldi was tragic, De Barrouze was sinister. In 1836, he killed a boy with a blow from his walking stick after the youth shouted insults at him on the street. He was ultimately acquitted of the murder. So the two biggest clowns of the early modern clowning era were troubled men underneath that face paint. After Grimaldi and Devereaux's heyday, pantomime and theatrical traditions changed. Clowning largely left the theater for the relatively new arena of the circus. The circus got its start in the mid-1760s with British entrepreneur Philip Astley's equestrian shows, exhibitions of feats of horsemanship in a circular arena. These trick riding shows soon began attracting other performers, along with jugglers, trapeze artists, acrobats, came clowns. By the mid-19th century, clowns had become a sort of hybrid Grimaldian personality that fit in much more with the sort of general overall less nuanced style of clowning in the Big Top, says Stott.
You guys are talking, you just got my brain going in the right direction. I remember back in the 80s, Jack in the Box had some initial problems with their food, and they had to, I don't know if you guys were around when they blew up the clowns in the box, their commercials.
No.
No.
You guys could, you guys ought to Google that. Okay. I'm certain there's commercials about that, but they completely rebranded. I don't know if it was something to do, well, I knew it was to do with them pretty much getting sued like crazy for food poisoning, but on top of that, they rebranded and they had these commercials that would come on in prime time, and they would just show that Jack in the Box clown in the box just blowing up. It was quite cool. Actually,
1980. You gotta love the internet, man. I mean, you can pull any old commercial that's memorable. I mean, I'm sure there's some unmemorable ones that are not on the internet, right? Like there's been a zillion commercials, but any of the old like memorable commercials, you type it in, man, and there it is. YouTube with, and in fact, on a channel called Mr. Classic Ads 1980s.
Patrick's call on commercials reminded me that, you know, there's just a bunch of commercials that sort of stick with you from way back in the day, and I think the ones that stick the most are the jingles for me.
Sure.
Yeah. I remember this product called RC100.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd probably have to be around that one period of time, but
is
I mean,
it RC car?
No, RC, no. Royal Crown.
Oh, alcohol.
No.
No.
It's a soda.
I was thinking Crown Royale.
Yeah.
RC, like RC Cola.
Gotcha. But then they had 100, and it was one of those predecessors to Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi and all that stuff.
And you remember the jingle from it?
Yeah, I think it's RC.
What's so exciting about RC100 Cola?
Nothing.
RC100's got nothing.
Nothing.
No sugar and no caffeine.
Nothing but taste.
RC100's got nothing.
Nothing, nothing.
It's like nothing I've ever seen.
If you haven't tasted caffeine-free
RC100,
you ain't tasted nothing yet.
RC100's got nothing.
It's got nothing but taste.
Thanks for nothing.
Does that make you feel nostalgic?
Old.
When you hear that?
There you go. I like
that
it.
Was also 1980, so the same year as the last commercial.
I like the aesthetics of it. It was nice. When you have like an actual, you take a stand, I think more, you know, the soldiers would be less, or police would be less inclined to fire on their own people. They'd be less inclined to fire at all.
They're not seeing them as their own people.
But it's not like the Easter Rising in, you know, IRA in Ireland, because everyone has a camera. Anyone, you know, the media could be there. If one cop shoots, it'll be a PR disaster. So if people
don't
just stand up,
disaster.
If they have guns, they'll be taken seriously.
I think there's some bloodthirsty people in Spain who would love to see the Catalans get shot. I mean, you've got people out in the streets protesting against secession. So not only do you have hundreds of thousands in the streets protesting for secession in Catalonia over the last several months, but there have been maybe as many, or not quite as many, but there have been quite a lot of people in other regions and even in Catalonia who have protested in favor of staying in Spain. And so I think that a lot of those people want to see violence used. They're not mad about the police coming in there because they want anything to be done to keep their, you know, the big money area of Catalonia in Spain so they can keep milking them and using the money from that region to pay welfare payments to everybody all across Spain. Jaume Alonso Cuevas, Puigdemont's attorney, told Antena 3 Television the attorney general's claim that his client was guilty of rebellion was real nonsense, he said. Puigdemont did not immediately comment. Spokeswoman for his party, Marta Pascal, said she could not confirm whether he would appear in court to face those charges. She says, I've talked with him and he's fine, she said. At a news conference. Let's see, when do they want them to show up? The coming days. So we don't know exactly when the deadline is for that. The Madrid government
show up for that.
Had warned members of the Catalan cabinet that they could remove belongings from their offices on Monday, but if they tried to perform their official duties, they would face charges. Puigdemont caused a stir Monday morning by posting a photo of the outside of the Catalonia government building with the caption, "Good day," giving the appearance that he might be at work. At least one local official showed up briefly to protest. Joseph Roll, in charge of territorial affairs, tweeted a photo of himself sitting at his desk Monday next to a newspaper with the headline, "Back to work." "In my office," he tweeted, "fulfilling my responsibilities that the people of Catalonia have charged me with."
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
"But we wanted to send a message of trust to the Mossos," said Zoido. Quote, "It's important that the Mossos should recover a part of lost credibility," unquote. Separatists in Catalonia embrace a past steeped in their own language and traditions. The region has grown into Spain's economic powerhouse with the tourist hub of Barcelona as its capital, and some Catalans resent having their taxes go to subsidize the poorer parts of Spain. Independentistas on Monday vowed to continue fighting for a separate Catalan state. Standing in front of the Catalonian government building in the Plaça de Sant Jaume, surrounded by a crowd of several dozen reporters and supporters waving Catalan flags, a leftist city group read statements in Catalan in front of a podium that said, "Republic now!" Quote, "The repression, the threats, the interventions of the Spanish state are a reality, despite the approvals and struggles of the Catalan parliament."
Isolation and poverty now!
She said supporters rejected Spain's application of Article 155 of the Constitution to oust the regional government, and they planned to protest peacefully. The atmosphere in the regional capital was tense. "Losers!" shouted Carlo Maestri, age 35, as he walked past the crowd in the plaza and pointed to the Spanish flag still flying atop the regional government building. Would the U.S. government respond similarly as the Spanish government? I mean, there's a good chance that they would, right? The government certainly has all kinds of resources, just like the Spanish national government. They can print their own money, just like the Spanish government, and they certainly have not been in favor of secession in previous iterations. I mean, Barack Obama, famously, after he was reelected in 2012, there was that Texas question. If you remember, there was a website like whitehouse.gov or something where you could go and submit a question, and then other people could sort of vote up the question with their signature. And then if it got to 100,000 signatures, then Obama or the White House would give an official response to that question. And the official response from the White House to Texas wanting to secede was, "Yeah, that was settled in the 1800s with the Civil War." The suggestion being that they would go ahead and settle it again with violence.
Barack Obama suggested that he would kill people who attempted to secede, was what I heard in that.
That's correct. And don't think Donald Trump is going to be any friendlier to it. I believe that he has spoken in favor of Spain staying together, but I could be... please correct me if I'm wrong on that. We've got more to say on the situation with NPR, one of the executives, Mark, being accused of sexual harassment a couple decades ago, apparently. He's been, was it suspended from his duties?
Yeah, he's on indefinite leave.
Even though he wasn't actually at NPR at the time, they're suspending him over something that allegedly happened at the New York Times.
That, and then there was a continuation of the situation, right? So
So some new development is what
you're saying. Basically, last year, shortly after he was hired, Osekis, apparently had a conversation with a woman in the office that made her uncomfortable. Now, I'm not privy to what was said. No, you know, basically that's the HR department that's going to be privy to that. But, you know, I guess I don't know what was said, but it's a step down from sticking his tongue in people's mouths.
Which is what he was alleged to have done previously.
Right. And then NPR sends out, you know, the boss man there sends out an email saying, "Hey, if you've been bothered by Mr. Osekis, please let us know."
Mm.
And, you know, nobody said anything. So then the next thing they hear of it, the Washington Post is reporting oh yeah, somebody else came out and said that this happened. So, you know, in this circumstance, I guess it seems like the pitchforks are out and the torches are burning at this point. I was out in the sales trailer. You can tell about the wonderful accommodations.
We had trailers.
The palatial accommodations we had there at Clear Channel Sarasota. And, you know, the gal in question walks in.
Now, older?
She and I, and, you know, several of the people there, we had this sort of convivial relationship. This is a joke, but at the same time, it was, I mean, how could you call anything but
was
sexual
harassment? Was she older than you?
I'm not answering your questions.
Okay, dude, what it's did
important.
She do?
That's not going to help me figure out who it was, okay? It's important to know for the, you know, the audience. We're trying to paint the picture here. Is this an older woman, or was it a woman who was your contemporary?
I would say she was my contemporary.
Okay.
So this sales trailer had an office in the back. This wasn't my office. I was not important enough to have an right. office. I just happened to be in that office working on that computer.
Right.
She walks into that office and kicks the door closed.
Yeah.
No one's, you're alone? Best of my knowledge, no one's in the sales trailer. Kicks the door closed and says, you know, she's got some papers in her hand. I presume she was coming in to get a signature or something, and says, take your clothes off.
Right? She says
in a very commanding tone.
Yeah.
So I waggle my tie back and forth, and then we get on down to business, whatever that might have been.
Ricky, you're on via Skype. You were calling in relation to something I brought up to you last night, which was about how some of our amplifiers have been demanding to see your picture. They want to see the full outfit. I mean, we could send them over the picture that's associated with your Skype.
But I know, brother. I know. You know, I give it some thought. And see, that's where I was shocked last night when I was looking at the show notes. And it says that I refused.
It sounded like a refusal.
I never refused. I never said
Mark,
no.
Mark, you were sitting here last night. Did Ricky refuse to give us a photo?
Nope. I said I'll think about it. I never said no. I never said no to
right.
it.
Well, I mean,
I believe Ricky, and I know that, and I know how you are. Like, you'll just jump to any old conclusion that's convenient for you.
You can always change your mind. I'll take your word for it, Ricky. Maybe there was a miscommunication. Maybe I misunderstood you, and if so, I apologize. So does that mean you've thought about it, and you're going to go ahead and give us a picture?
I have, but I'd like to hear what you were telling me before I tell my end of what I've decided and what I'm going to do. I'd like to hear what you were telling me before we went to break.
Yeah. So one of our listeners took a picture of the Undertaker, because you've described yourself as wearing like a leather, long leather coat or some
duster.
Sort of duster. And
used to wear leather. I busted. I trashed five leather ones, so I'm going to oil.
It's expensive. All right. So you're wearing a long black coat, all black, wearing all black, having a wide-brimmed black hat on of some sort.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Indoors.
And then also wearing a flag, wearing the battle flag of
the Confederate. You were Stars and Bars.
You never gave me an update on whether or not you brothers was going to help me break Christopher Cantwell out of jail.
Oh, you're that guy. Well, you know, Chris, as I understand it, is he believes he's going to get out coming up here in 8 days. He's got a court hearing in Albemarle County, Virginia, where he's being held on charges that basically make him into a political prisoner. Now, say what you want about his despicable racist beliefs. He doesn't deserve to be held without bail for what was, you know, arguably an act of self-defense. But even if it wasn't, the average person who is in trouble for an assault charge is generally not going to be held without bail. And so we'll see what happens there. But
I got to respond. You said that guy. Is that some kind of a slur towards those of us that live in the wealth of commonwealth?
You people.
I don't support violence, so I don't. If a secession movement breaks violent, then I can't say I necessarily agree with that, unless they're defending themselves. So I don't agree with aggressive violence, to be clear. If they're defending themselves against a bunch of thugs trying to keep them in the state, then I would say, you know, feel free to use violence to defend yourself. But to.
Well, Howard, normally what happens is when they want to secede and declare sovereignty from. You know, the government, they will be met with violence. Like Bangladesh, for example, is a great example. It used to be part of Pakistan after Pakistan and India split up. And Bangladesh, we were on the side of Pakistan trying to keep Bangladesh in Pakistan.
Who was on that side?
And it was very brutal, actually. It was like
who's we? Genocidal you were rape. On that side?
The United States.
Oh, okay. Because I don't.
I don't remember.
I don't do
that.
What the United States does. I'm not part of them.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys have already seceded.
I seceded in my mind back in 2010.
You can secede, too, by simply going to shiresociety.org and signing the declaration.
That's right. Actually, it's not .org. It's shiresociety.com.
Oh, my mistake.
I don't know if anybody owns .org. They might. I don't know where that's going to take you, so be careful with going to sites that may not be the site in question. Shiresociety.com, there is the Shire Society Declaration, which is basically an individual declaration of independence, and people can sign that anytime they like.
I don't think you could secede without violence. And if you, well, that's not strictly true. Some federations, like the EU, which have provisions, that's why Brexit was possible. And also,
what you're saying is you don't believe that someone can secede without some side being violent, because I think the secessionist side can try their best to avoid violence. You're saying the federal government is probably going to get violent in any case.
The U.S. federal government. I don't think the EU federal government will get violent. But yeah, as long as there's a provision in the Constitution for secession like there is at the EU, surprisingly, the USSR had a provision for secession. That's why it fell apart. So they all just decided to leave.
Well, just because they don't have a provision for secession doesn't mean that the U.S. government's going to stay together over all of these years. It's inevitably, hopefully, going to fail at some point. But I do see your point, and I think that it's, you know, it's hard to argue against it. It really is. Although my thought is, let's just throw caution to the wind and go for it anyway and see what happens.
Okay. And what if people are caught in the collateral damage, though, and if they have families and kids?
Yeah, that's bad. That's definitely bad.
Yeah, so, Ian doesn't like the idea that there might be consequences to this nonsense that he just spouts off all the time.
It's unfortunate. Bad things happen, but, you know, that's a world we live in.
Yeah,
you have to make some sacrifices.
I mean, do you want to live under a tyrannical federal government for the rest of your life and have your grandchildren and children subjected to them? I say no.
Is that the only solution, though, is secession?
I recommended my parents buy Bitcoin with Coinbase.
Uh-huh.
And it was a long time ago. No. I'm a big Coinbase fan, actually, so... But let me.
Oh, I still recommend people use Coinbase to get their first Bitcoins just because it's an easy process. I don't like Coinbase.
I recommended it to them years ago.
They're like the big bank of Bitcoin. They're terrible.
Nice alliteration.
They bought it at $600.
Nice.
You know, and they pay their taxes every year. They have their own business. You know, they have to, you know, do stuff. But anyway, so I talked them into buying Bitcoin back at $600. They've made. They've done all right with
it. So by $600, you mean like just over a year ago?
Yeah, right? It was when it was at $600.
Right, because it's at 6,900 right now as we speak.
Yeah, I know.
At Bitcoin average.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, see, I had sold a bunch when I bought my house so I could pay off a truck and stuff, and I sold it really low. And now I just get, you know, like a monthly amount, but nothing like I used to have. But anyway, back to the point. When you guys... Like back when before it had forked the first time, it was highly recommended on this show to move out of Coinbase because when it forked, you wouldn't, you know, get that Bitcoin Cash.
That's because Coinbase had announced prior to the Bitcoin Cash fork that they would not be supporting Bitcoin Cash. They then rescinded that announcement after they noticed how many people wanted the Bitcoin Cash. Bitcoin forks and the thing's worth a cent, then it's probably not worth the time to get it out of your wallet. But what you're referring to is when the fork occurs, let's say you have half a Bitcoin. You've saved up half a Bitcoin, and you have that before the fork. Then the fork happens. After the fork, you will then have half a Bitcoin and half of a Bitcoin fill-in-the-blank, whatever the new fork thing is. So coming up on the 15th of this month, when the SegWit2x fork happens, you'll have half a Bitcoin and then half a SegWit2x coin or Bitcoin, whatever they're going to call it, Bitcoin2x. You're going to have one of each. And what you're pointing out here, Jason, is that some of these online exchanges like Coinbase, you are at their mercy as to whether or not they decide to grant you access to these forked off Bitcoin. While if you want to make sure you have access to every fork of Bitcoin that happens, you need to have what's called a non-custodial wallet.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.